Good morning. Well, I'm so happy that you are with us today. Wow, looks like we've got a big crowd today. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. More snowbirds have finally dug themselves out of the snow and returned to sunny South Florida, so we're glad that you're with us today. And some that have been on injured reserve are back among us today. Good to see you as well. Well, welcome. I'm Pastor David Branson, and I'm glad you're worshiping with us today. A few quick announcements. Today, we're remembering Martin Luther King Jr. and the legacy that he has left behind. You'll see in your offering in your bulletin a special Human Relations Day offering that we do in the Methodist Church that goes towards the mission and justice missions in our church. So, if you'd be interested in dropping something in the offering plate as we remember the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. today as well. A reminder to be sure to fill out your Connect cards, drop those in the offering plate as they come around this morning. Our women's retreat is leaving on Friday. How many are going on the women's retreat? No one's going on the women's retreat. The choir is leaving for Wendell. I guess we'll have a choir next week. Well, the women's retreat is going up to Leesburg, Fruitland Park, as it's called now, but we'll definitely miss them, but I'm sure they will have an enriching time of fellowship and spiritual renewal on their retreat. And in the same vein, the men, United Methodist men, will be leaving on January 27th. We're not going to Leesburg, we're going to the Rainbow River up near Donella, so we're going to have a great time. We went there last year for our men's retreat. We had about 15 guys go on that. I think right now we have about 15 signed up for this year. It's a new faces joining us, so if you're interested in that, be sure to talk to me about that as well, and we can get you in the mix if you're interested to attend our men's retreat this year. The United Methodist Women will be holding their mission study on February 4th. I'm giving you a few weeks heads up on that. That is our regular United Methodist Men's Breakfast, but the men have decided that they're going to support the women in this mission study. So on that day, the men's group, United Methodist Men, will be meeting at 8:30, I believe. Is that correct? 8:30, we'll be meeting in the fellowship hall to, and everyone in the church is invited to attend that. It's going to be a great, Miss Annie, you got the, what's Annie's topic this year?
The topic this year is Earth Justice.
Earth Justice. We're going to talk about how we can help preserve our planet. I'm sure we have a speaker coming in as well. So we're going to join the women for that. So men, we're not going to be having our greasy breakfast on Saturday, but we will be eating healthier with the women that day. Breakfast and lunch is provided, right?
Yes.
Continental breakfast and a lunch will be provided, so come out and join us for that as well. A reminder that this Wednesday is our meeting and communion service at 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We'll come and have a time of prayer and holy communion together. And if you have prayer needs to be lifted up, I would encourage you to come and be a part of that service on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. And then following the healing and communion service, our new Bible study is going to be starting. It's called Revival, and it's living out the Wesleyan mindset and how we do our Christian living today. So it's a very good study, and I hope you can come out, a six-week study, so you can join us for that as well. So hopefully you can come on Wednesday evening in the fellowship hall as well. The United Methodist Women had their open house on Saturday, yesterday, and I think they had over 30 women show up and had a tea and had a time of fellowship and just explaining to the new women in the church about what happens with the United Methodist Women and the mission and ministry that they're involved in as well. We also had our United Methodist Men's garage sale yesterday, and we just found out from Mr. Kent that they made $562.50 yesterday. Thank you everyone that came out and helped with that as well. There were some women helping us with that as well yesterday. So we've got a lot going on in the life of our church. I would encourage you to look at your bulletins. That's what we print them for. So you can take that home. We ran short on bulletins today, so that's a good thing. I'm glad that not that we ran out of bulletins, but that means we've got more people here today than we've had in the recent week. So if you didn't get a bulletin, there's a newsletter in the back, and it also has a calendar in there, and you can keep up on the life of your church as well. But welcome. I'm ready to worship. Are you?
Amen.
Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
who sing God's praises with a new song. Happy are those who wait patiently for God, who cry out to God with their whole heart. God is steadfast and faithful. Please join us in our opening hymn, Maker in Whom We Live, number 88 in your hymnal.
Oh,
All $100 bills, look at that. What did you do with your dollar you got last week? You kept it. Okay, that's the spirit. Huh? How did you increase your dollar? Destiny, did you get a dollar last week? Later on, I want to talk to you all about this, and I better not get that. Well, you're pretty sure you didn't get a dollar last week? Here's a dollar. Now, what are you going to do with this dollar? No, you're not. You've got to increase it. Pastor needs a new pair of shoes. So I'm going to talk to them about this in a minute. This dollar represents what to you? Did you listen to my message last week? Were you both here? What did I say? Oh, okay, I know all of you remember. What did I say last week? We are to increase our talent, and this is a reminder, this dollar bill, because there's a story in the Bible of a master giving his servants 1, 5, and 10 talents, right? And the master that he gave the 10 talents to went out and increased that amount tremendously. The one that had 5 talents went out and did the same. The one that had the 1 talent, that's why this is important to you all. What did they do with their 1 talent? And talent in that, by the way, was a denomination of how money was counted. So talent in this regard, but we have that play on words that says how we fill in the blanks with our own talent. So the one that had the 1 talent, what did they do with it? They went out and buried it in the yard, right? So the master comes back, one with 10 talents brings in his wheelbarrow full of money and gives it back to the master. Good job. Well done. The one that he had given the 5 talents to came in with his increase and gave it to the master. The master said, well done. Good job. Now this is where you all come into play. How many went home last week and buried their dollar out in the backyard? How many of you did that? A couple of hands go up, so this is not necessarily a good thing. I gave you a dollar so you could go out and increase this dollar. Right? So that's what you have 1 more week to do it, because next Sunday, what are we going to do? You're going to bring in wheelbarrow fulls of money to the church, right? From this $1 that you received. Is that correct? So I'm going to have a race truck set up out here with a guard so we're safe when all this money comes into the church next week. Should I make those arrangements, folks? No. No? I laid their youthful enthusiasm. The rest of you, I don't know. So this $1 represents an increase for God. And you know what we're going to do with the money that comes in next week, right? We're going to put it in Grandma's place, our mission jar out there. And that's going to go to help young babies and children that are removed from dangerous situations, and they foster these children. So it's a very good cause, right? So that's what we're going to do with this increase. Now, can we outgive God? Because I'm going to talk about that today, too. And you all are going to stay in here and listen to that. Because we're in the midst of our stewardship campaign. Oh, no. Week 2 of 3. You know what? I'm impressed that there's more people here this week. I thought after last week's message that half of them would stay home. Here we go again. All right? Pastor's always asking for money, right? Do I always ask for money? I do not. Send them to the principal's office. So what we're going to do this week is continue on, because I've heard some great examples of how people are going to increase their talent. Okay, I'll talk to that about them later. But there's a lot of ways you can use not only the But what God has given you to share with others to increase that knowledge. So you have 1 week, okay? And don't forget next week to come in and have increased your talent, your money. You remind her, okay? Okay. I'm going to pray for you two and all of these folks that next week when we come back in, we will have increased what God has given us, okay? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these beautiful spirits you placed in these young ladies. But Father, that same spirit needs to flow through all of us. It needs to remind us that you have given us gifts that we must share and we must increase. So Father, I pray that blessing upon not only them, but all of us as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. This exercise that we're going through to give us a mindset of how can we use what God has given us for the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to have that as your mindset. I hope all the time, but at least through the next couple of weeks. This is the time in our service when we go before the Lord in prayer. We've had many folks this week that have been struggling, have been sick, and I hear the flu is going around as well. So flus and colds and just those things, but also people with more serious ailments as well. So I'm going to lift up some names to you today for you to continue to pray for and keep your bulletins with you if you have a bulletin with the prayer list in there as well. Karen Snyder as well, she's continuing to recover from her surgery. We're definitely lifting her up. And David, her husband as well, had foot surgery during this same time. And Karen is still undergoing her cancer treatment as well. And the results of her surgery were not that promising with what they removed is showing cancer there as well. So, but we just really need to keep Karen and the Snyder family lifted up. It's a tough go for them right now. We continue to pray for Tom Holman. He's had continuing health problems, and we've been lifting him up as well. Gail, we've had you on our prayer list. It's great to see you back in church today. Welcome, Gail. There you are. Hi, Gail. It's good to have you back. She had a fall and has been laid up for a while, so it's good to see you. You've got your daughter with you today. Heather Day as well had surgery for breast cancer as well. That has gone well, and we pray for complete healing for her. Max Moretz is also going to be having eye surgery. Max, you didn't tell me that. So just the continued healing for his eyes as well. He's got surgery coming up this week, it says here. Barbara's lifting up her daughter, Anna, has some health concerns and is waiting test results. So we'll pray that everything comes out well for Anna. Karen Ringer-Jana, she's continuing to lift up her health concerns as well. Karen, we're keeping you in prayer. I hope you make a quick turnaround. Donna Harris as well, I've been in contact with her. Good news is she doesn't need any kind of surgery. It looks like about a 12-week healing process. She fell and broke a bone in her leg, and it's near the knee, but it's not the knee itself. So we need to continue to pray for Donna. Looks like she'll be home for 12 weeks, so that's not always a good thing. Beverly Engler is lifting up her brother this morning as well, had shoulder surgery, and he's doing good, so praise for that as well. We do have another praise. Teresa, are you in here, Teresa? No, Teresa Wellman found out last Wednesday on her birthday that she's going to be a grandma. Rebecca Roster is expecting a baby in late summer. So you see Teresa, she'll be in the fellowship hall afterwards, I'm sure. Congratulate her on becoming a grandma. So that's an awesome thing that we're very happy with for her. I know there's many things on your hearts this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, you've heard our request this morning. Father, these folks are people that are near and dear to our hearts. And Father, we just lift them up to you today. We pray a healing presence about them, that they would feel your anointing upon them, that they would feel God's love healing them from inside out. Father, I pray today that we can remain faithful in our prayers and in our belief and trust in you. Father, you are a God that gave up something precious for us. So, Father, we just pray today that we can honor your commitment to us in our commitment back to you. So, Father, I pray healing for all of those listed and those in our hearts today that have gone unspoken, that we would fully give them up to you. Father, we are grateful that you listen. We are grateful that a God would care enough to select each one of us to be your child. So, Father, today I'm grateful for your love for us. I'm grateful for the spirit and the hearts of this church. Father, I pray that we would continue to seek your discernment, to seek your will in the life of this church. Where are you leading us, Lord? And will we obey? So, Father, I pray today that we can continue to strive to be the church you've called us to be. Father, we pray for those around us, our community. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. Father, this week, the transition of power will be completed. And with that, we pray that your divine grace will shower down upon this nation. That you would convict the hearts of our leaders to do what's right for its people. Father, we trust you in that. Father God, our world is a hurting place. Our world is a place of turmoil, of strife, of death, and of renewal. Today, Father, we pray for that renewal. Let us see the face of God in our neighbor. As we remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on this day, let us continue to strive to make our world a better place. Father, let us now give you thanks in our prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thank you.
Holy and gracious God, we are so grateful that we are able to give back a small portion of the bounty that you have poured out upon us. Father, receive our offering in the name of Jesus Christ, our holy and most precious Savior.
That's why we had a big turnout, didn't it, Gary?
Yeah. Take it down the other side over there. I see. I knew if you started paying people, they would come out in groups. Yeah, well, you got some work to do. It's not just free money. See, you all think this is free money, but there's a catch. Charles, do you get one last thing? No, we should have plenty. Ken, did you get one? All right. Leon, you guys get one? You are here last week. I want everybody.
Here you go.
How many we need here? Two? You guys okay? I gotta tell you, they said ministry would cost you everything, and they weren't kidding. You guys, you get it? Two. Okay. Nancy wasn't here. I've never seen her anymore. And, see, I'm teaching to come to church every week.
Thank you.
Gail. Bill, you got one. Richard, did you get one?
Everybody else good here? Okay. Everybody good? All right, you've got to bring $50 back next week. Okay, thank you. Well, if you weren't here last week, or you didn't listen, because about 20 people put their dollars in the offering plate last week. Come on, people, pay attention. Come on, pay attention. I'm going to give you a little rundown on what that dollar's for, just like I did with the kids. That's the talent that the master gave his servants. You've been given the dollar, and if I hear you've taken it home and buried it in the backyard, I want to talk to you after church next Sunday. So what you're to do is take that $1 talent, that seed money, I call it, and a lot of you have had some really ingenious ways to increase that. Just like the servant that had the 5 and 10 talents went out and increased there. Whatever it is, you all have gifts. You know, I've had people say, I have no gifts. You're breathing air. You have one gift. You're still above ground. There's still ways you can interact with someone to increase that talent. And what we're going to do, our mission focus is Grandma's Place. You heard me explain it. It's in your bulletin if you got a bulletin about where that money's going to go. We're going to collect that. There's going to be a basket here next week. Next week is Pledge Sunday. We're going to be mailing out pledge cards to you this week. I want you to prayerfully consider how you're going to be involved in the life of this church with your talents, your money, your gifts of service, all of those things that God expects a return on his investment in us. Okay, so you all got that? Whatever your talents and uses, you've only got a week now. It's next Sunday. So use that seed money. And let that be a reminder to you how you can increase God's abundance in the world today. So that's your assignment. You don't get off free. Do not put your dollar bill in the offering plate this week. Because this week I'm going to scan them, and if your fingerprints are on it, you're dead meat. So don't do that. Right, Robin? You've got people, right? Robin knows people. We can take care of you. I'm going to read from you today from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Now, Paul has been with the church at Corinth, and you know what? They're a bunch of knuckleheads. They're a bunch of knuckleheads, my Canadian friends say. But Paul had to go in there and straighten them out, and in chapter 16, we're getting to the end of this letter, Paul is telling them that there's still some business that needs to be taken care of. And in this scripture, let me read it to you, and then we're going to talk about it. The collection for Jerusalem, even the early church knew that it had to support ministries and pastors, if you will, outside of their sphere of influence. So that's what Paul is telling them here in this part of the scripture from 1 Corinthians 16. Concerning the collection of money for God's people, you should do what I have directed the churches in Galatia to do. On the first day of the week, each of you should set aside whatever you can afford from what you earn, so that the collection won't be delayed until I come. Then when I get there, I'll send whomever you approve to Jerusalem with letters of recommendation to bring your gift. If it seems right for me to go too, they'll travel with me. Amen? Let's have a prayer. Gracious God, let us cogitate on these words today. Father, let us take these words in and how it would be for you to have us active in your ministry. So, Father, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so Paul says, well, you guys, if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, that church was a mess. Are we a mess? Some of you are a mess. Some of you are a mess. I'm a mess some days. But at the end of this letter to the Corinthians, it's like reading someone else's mail. Who has got the letter in their mailbox and it's for your old snooty neighbor across the street and it accidentally gets torn open? Anybody accidentally open mail or it's not theirs? You know, some of my neighbors have really high credit card bills. I have no idea what they're buying over there. I can't see it from the outside. I don't know. I haven't looked on purpose. This letter to the Corinthians is like reading someone else's mail. They had problems, didn't they? They weren't very good. They fought among themselves. They sued each other. They stole each other's wives. They weren't very good people. But you know what? Paul didn't give up on them. He didn't give up on them. They even fought about the Lord's Supper. Your assignment this week is to read the letter to 1 Corinthians and find out what these people were all about. You have homework this week. There was confusion about everything. They were hungry. They come to church drunk. Anyone come to church drunk this morning? Look at your neighbor and smell their breath quickly. What do you smell? Ah, lilacs. This was a messed up church. This was a messed up church in Corinth. But God did not give up on them. They had spiritual gifts. They didn't know what to do with them. In many ways, they messed that up as well. Would you take your family, your children, to a church like that? Think about that. Would you take your children to a church that exhibited those characteristics? What gets me? There was actually people in church. There was something there still drawing them in. That's what we have to hope and pray for. That there's something within these walls of Lakeside United Methodist Church that will continue to draw people in no matter how messed up we are. That's what we got to strive for because we know we're not perfect. People tell me, I'm not going to that church. It's full of hypocrites. Amen. Come and join us. You'll fit right in. That's where all your people are hanging out. Come and join us. But through God's grace, we've been able to read this mail to the Corinthian church. Paul has left us something to ponder. They are the people of Christ. Christ died on the cross for them. And he died on the cross for us. For that, we must be grateful. First Corinthians chapter 13, very important. What's in chapter 13 of Corinthians? Talks about love, doesn't it? Who here doesn't like love? It's a very important chapter in the Bible about love. What's chapter 15? Chapter 15 talks about the gospel and how we are to spread the gospel in the world. If we love one another and we, our intention is to spread the gospel to those outside these walls that maybe have never heard of Jesus Christ, do you think there's people outside these walls that's never heard the name Jesus Christ? Absolutely. That is hard for me to believe today. Do you think there's people outside these walls that are struggling with their relationship with Christ? Absolutely. I should ask that question. Are there those of you inside these walls this morning struggling with your relationship with Christ? That's what we do as a church. We help one another in our struggle. I envy people that have that solid, strong relationship with Christ. Their belief never wavers. Their truth is never far from their lips. And then there's you and me. This mail that we've read to the Corinthian church is the mail that shows up in our mailbox. Now, what does this have to do with the stewardship message today? The verse I read you from chapter 16 is about giving. And it's about giving to these guys in Jerusalem that the Corinthian church had never seen before. They don't know them from nothing. God has laid on Paul's heart that they are to gather up the offering, the tithes and offerings. It said it right there. To gather their tithes and offerings and help these folks out in Jerusalem. Folks, today in your bulletin, you had the offering envelope for Human Relations Day. Now, they probably didn't have a printer in the Corinthian church, but you know what? What Paul is telling them is exactly what we're doing today. We take a special offering for folks we may not know. We as Christians are willing to help others. Now that's stewardship. Now that's you working through this church to make an impact in the world. The widow's mite, the widow that put her 2 cents in the plate, and when Jesus saw that, said, she's given more than any of the others. The others were giving out of their bounty. She gave out of her heart, and she gave all she had. Now you say, well, she only had 2 pennies. What difference does it make? Yeah, but when she got rid of her 2 pennies, she had 0. She trusted God. Now that's stewardship. Now that is trusting God to take care of you. A couple of times in my life, most of the time, I can take care of myself. Thank you very much. But a couple of times in my life, I've said, God, okay, you take over. This isn't going, my plan isn't going so well. And you know what? I got a sense of peace and relief immediately upon not only just saying those words, but thinking them in my mind and my heart. How many of you have had to give it up to God? Give it up. Somebody to me said, I'm not going to point you out today, but somebody said, my life stinks right now, I'm going to give it up to God. Good for you. Give it up to God. I hope when you said those words out loud to me this morning, whoever that was, you felt a sense of peace. Because that's what we are to do as a church. Tucked away at the end of this letter are cleaning up the loose ends of business. But where is the most important message usually found? In the little minor details at the end of something, right? That's where the real power comes from. He's chewed them out throughout the whole letter for acting like a bunch of knuckleheads. And now he says there's a little business I need to square away with you here at the end of this letter. And in verse 16, he's telling them, let's remember the saints in Jerusalem. If you remember what's going on at that time, those folks were really getting beat up. They were persecuted. They were in trouble. Their church wasn't succeeding. Their membership was dwindling. They were hanging on by a thread. But the churches, the Gentiles out in the countryside, were being told to step up to the plate. And when they stepped up to the plate, God would bless them in the midst of it. That's what this is all about. I'm going to read it to you one more time. 9. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, I directed the church of Galatia to do so. Now, those old snotty Galatians, they knew what to do. They took care of business. They weren't having the same issues that the Corinth church was having. Verse 2 tells them, on the first day of each week, put aside and save. There's instruction there. And when I arrive, we'll send them with a letter that I'll write to you saying, this is good money. This is money given from the heart. This whole letter is filled with now concerning these things. All throughout 1 Corinthians, now concern this, now concern that, now concern this, now concern that. He was giving them a step-by-step instruction on how to be a church. And how you live within a church family. That's what Paul's doing here. He talks about their spiritual gifts. That's what the dollar's for. I hope you're using your spiritual gift and your talent to increase your dollar. Isn't it funny how this all just falls together? It even amazes me sometimes. So these letters are talking about Galatia means there's already been communication among the churches. Was Paul riding around the countryside or walking or trotting along, trudging along, falling on the wayside, walking the circuit, drumming up money for the church? That's why we as pastors stand up here before you. I'm not as much as I probably should. And talk about money with you. And where your heart is. Let's talk a little bit about giving. When there's a crisis, you know, the Sunday I said, hey, the little school in Haiti that I'm personally familiar with and I worked with back in my other church, I said the hurricane hit them and wiped them out. What did we give? $500 or $600? Barbara, I don't remember the exact amount on that day.
$480
above and beyond your regular giving on one Sunday offering, and there probably wasn't more than maybe 100 or so people here. They gave $480, and that is awesome. That's giving above and beyond your tithe. That's what that means. I hope you didn't think that was my message last week, carrying on in the next week, that offering was not part of your tithe. That's above and beyond your tithe. The 10% tithe is where you start. Now this is where you're supposed to squirm. If your shoe's untied, go ahead and get it cinched up. But this is where the Bible tells us to trust God. And our giving is an echo of our image. You ever think of that? You know, you've heard the old saying, God's going to check your checkbook when you get to heaven. Where do you spend all your money on? Your checkbook is an indication of your heart. Now they squirm a little more. Our giving is a reflection of God's image in us. Do you buy that? If our giving is a reflection of God's image in each one of us, raise your hand if that's true. I hope the rest of you think about that and strive to do that. Because that is how God sees you. God made us and He provides all good things, right? So that's our image. You know, even those that don't believe in God get some satisfaction from giving. You've heard me say it's a blessing to be a blessing. That's just a phrase I came up with. I think it's an original for me. Patent pending. It's a blessing to be a blessing. Somebody open your bulletin up and tell me what the title of the message is today. Read it out loud. Do you believe that, or the pastor has his cheek slipped off his crack? That's my new saying too. You like that? Has your cheek slipped off your crack? Nancy, I'm sorry. She doesn't know what to do with me sometimes. I think when we get home, we might have intense fellowship. No. Yeah. Even people that don't believe in God still give, right? Yes, they do. Because why? Makes them feel good. Why do we do anything? Because it makes us feel good most of the time. Why does God have us do things that make us squirm and not feel so great? Anybody got a clue?
Make us grow.
Make us what?
Grow.
Make us grow. I don't know where God came up with this idea. Have you? We're called to give. Selfishness and stinginess are enemies of the cross. Remember out of Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira and their story? They were to sell their belongings and bring them to the pastor. Next week I'm going to ask you all to sell everything you want and bring it to the pastor. Now how many of you will show up to church for a dollar? I'll have more dollars next week. Folks, that's what we're talking about. God knows if we're sacrificial in our giving. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't really know what any of you give. It's not my business. That's your business with God. You know, I love to say that because that takes all the pressure on me. I don't care what you do, you take that up with God. Boy, that's a cop out of an app, isn't it? So you watch yourselves. God is watching you. He knows if you're giving sacrificially. It's not often I get the point my finger. Didn't you love that when your mom would say, don't point that at somebody because there's three more pointing right back at you. That's all God wants, is to know that we're giving out of sacrifice at times. Jesus says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by the measure you use, it will be measured to you in return. Anytime I've tried to bless someone, I always get blessed well beyond anything I do. That's an amen statement. Someone dear to me said, hey, why don't you tell them about Malachi 3? It's beautiful how these things come together because as I was preparing this week, this came to me. I said, well, God, okay. I wasn't going to use that this time, but I think I will now. Malachi 3:7 says, from the days of your father, you have turned aside from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Now, I would hate to think we're cursed because we're not tithing. Something to think about. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Now, what they're talking about here is bringing their tithe into the storehouse. You remember the big barn, bringing, you all go out and work your fields, and the first harvest, you bring me 10% of everything you harvest. Out of your field. The best stuff, not the stuff at the end. It's all dried up and shriveled up. We don't want that. God is talking to the people. Malachi is bringing them this word. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house and test me in this. They say that's the only place in the Bible God says test me. Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Last week I stood up here and tell you time and time again, people that have told me their stewardship message, their their story of tithing and being honored to the church and God, how blessed they are in return. The blessings flow out more than we could ever imagine. Giving is trust. It's an act of worship. We talked about that last week. Giving is an act of worship. When done in the right spirit and attitude, giving brings incredible blessings. I just said that. I'm going to give you five blessings, and you take a lesson from these. Giving examines and exposes our hearts. Giving examines and exposes our hearts. Giving extends our influence for God's glory. Do you realize that's how God's glory is extended to the world? Is through our giving and what we do as a church. Giving expresses our thankfulness for God's grace. Do you wallow in God's grace? I'm using an old word where I've come from. Do you wallow in it? Do you get out and get in the mud with God's grace? Do you let it fill you and renew you? Or do you keep it at arm's length? Giving it lets us experience God's character. What did God do for us? Just a little old thing like salvation. Through Jesus? I guess that's pretty significant, isn't it? And giving expands our spiritual development into Christ's likeness. I've told you throughout the last few weeks that we're on the road to perfection. Some of us are closer than others. Are we going to be perfect in this life? No. As good as we want to be, as good as we try to be, we are an imperfect earthen vessel. We are striving to be like Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We all meet up there at the pearly gates, as they say. I wonder if the gates are really pearly. If I get there and they're not, I want to talk to the man. Are the streets paved with gold?
Yes.
I'm taking my pick and choose. I won't need the gold of those roads and streets, will I? Because I've been given salvation. I've been given eternal life in the presence of Jesus Christ. So, folks, week two of this message, of this series of messages. Next week, we're going to make a commitment right here at this altar. We're going to come and let God look into our pocketbooks. We're going to read God's mail. We've read the Corinthians mail today. When the letter comes this week, I want you to take it out and put it in a place of prominence. I would say put it where your Bible is. Do you know where your Bible is at home? I want you to pray fervently for the rest of this week until next Sunday, when you can go before God and say, God, this is what I'm willing to do for you. It's as simple as that. You don't have to tell me what you're going to do. I don't want you to. We went to a neurosurgeon. Okay, sidetrack. What time is it? Okay, I'm going to give you a 2-minute story. My first wife was sick. She had a brain tumor. We had a great neurologist, top of this field. Well, I got into a billing dispute with his office. I said he was charging us for things we didn't get. I was disputing the bill. So we went in on a doctor's appointment. I said, hey, doc, you know that I'm disputing some money with your office. He said, don't tell me anything about that. Because the way I am, if I find out you're trying to beat me out of money, your care is going to be reflected in that. So I don't want to know if you owe me a bunch of money or not. Because I don't want that to be a basis on how I treat you. And I said, whoa, I like that. I'm not going to pay you, but I'm a top-notch service. That's not true. We worked it out. We paid our debt to society and to the doctor. But I like that. You know what? It's not about him and his patient. It's not about your pastor and you. It's about God and you.
Amen.
Amen. So you got a week. When your letter comes, take out that pledge card and pray about it. I want you to pray about it. I don't want you to do anything out of obligation or your debt. Whatever it is, I want you to have that relationship with God and say, this is what I'm doing for God. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for Paul's words to the Corinthian church. Father, there at the end of this letter, he's just cleaning up some business and saying, hey, what about that tithe? And they were willing to give. So, Father, I pray that our hearts have been stirred, that our commitment to your church is strong. There's much work to do, and the workers are few. And, Father, we need the resources to carry on. So for that we pray, that our hearts would be changed, and renewal would take place in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Closing him forth in thy name.
Okay. You see me wave going by two or three times?
Where was I?
At your house.
Was I outside?
Going down the street, I always wave to you.
Driving?
Not,
or?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're not looking out the window. Am I in the way? How you been?